Thank you for spending another midweek moment with WPT. Before we get started, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, WPT. We are excited to partner with you in providing quality benefits at lower prices. We are thrilled to introduce a new program that will complement your current health coverage. It has a direct effect on reducing healthcare spending with a proven return on investment. We have found this program is excellent at attracting and retaining quality employees while helping to drive better health outcomes. And the cost of the plan builds out at no cost to you. We're excited to present this opportunity to the members of WPT Incorporated. Security Plus LLC has been reducing the cost of employee benefits across the country for decades, and we'd like to add you to that growing list of satisfied customers.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Paul Rozeski. Today is the 3rd of April, 2024. And although arriving slightly late, today is winter in Wisconsin. Not only that, but an old school winter in Wisconsin. Felt that way to me because it brought me memories of my childhood. Inches of sloppy, wet snow falling in the afternoon. Driving was a mess and everyone went to bed with the possibility of schools being closed the following morning because it was supposed to keep snowing through the night. But just like it seemed to happen when I was a kid, the morning came and in spite of the slippery conditions, school was on and you had to suck it up and show up and brave the wet, sloppy mess. With how much of a mess it's been and how people are driving like clowns, it is appropriately American Circus Day today. And speaking of clowns, it's the day after Election Day. I'll let you insert your own transition punchline here since there's so much low-hanging fruit out there. That is a great opportunity to jump right into some news together. So, I want to look at this stuff that most directly impacts taxes, which would be the referendums that were put out to voters across Wisconsin. As is typical, most were requests for money for schools, and as typical, most of them passed. Here were a couple that caught my attention. First and foremost, the Milwaukee school referendum, which received quite a bit of attention and quite a bit more pushback than normal. It did pass by the squeaky, sneaky margin of only 1,700 votes. It was for an increase in the levy limit, which translated equals to an increase in property taxes, $140 million over budget the first year, increasing the budget $51 million the second year, then $47, then keeping it $14 million over budget every year forever after. That request to exceed the levy limit into infinity is becoming more popular and showing up more and more, and we'll see that again in a second. 4 years out does seem like it's enough down the line where it's just part of the obligation, so when the next referendum comes, they're already past the point of the established budget and it's long since forgotten. I do think the razor-thin margin of victory is a good indication that Milwaukee is at the referendum fatigue breaking point. I actually thought maybe this one wasn't going to go through. It wouldn't surprise me if the next Milwaukee Public School referendum fails, because without a drastic change in outcomes or strategies or philosophy, people are just kind of at their breaking point. But it is Milwaukee, and they have an amazing skill of making random bad choices. We shall see. Another couple observations from the statewide results. The Hamilton School District, I thought, took an interesting approach. They had two identical school referendums, both for $76 million, both for operating expenses and to maintain buildings, etc. It's almost like they were saying, we'll give you the choice. Do you want to give the school district half of what they're asking for, or do you want to give them the whole boat? So, thought that was interesting. Probably something Maquonago should have tried, because they went with the all-or-nothing approach of asking for $102 million for a full wish list of upgrades and new school and all sorts of stuff. Well, the voters looked at the size of that number, and I think it scared off enough people. It was one of the few referendums that failed. Same thing in New Richmond. $113 million was just too much to swallow, even for all the Minnesota transplants that commute into the Twin Cities area. Referendum failed. Also interesting, the Lake County School District had two referendums. One was for the increase, the option to increase the levy limit, aka increase property taxes, by anywhere between 450,000 dollars to $1.6 million, depending on the year, or they could approve offering $9.5 million in debt through municipal bonds, or both. Both could have passed, but both didn't. Increasing the property taxes failed, but offering the bonds passed. I know we have members in Lake Country. I've talked to them. I know their property taxes are aggressively hard to swallow and consistently increasing, so that outcome doesn't necessarily surprise me. Also interesting, Little Freedom, Wisconsin, nestled in the country between Green Bay and Appleton. Although they're probably growing, this town of 6,200 people had a referendum for $62 million. That's 10 grand per resident. That's not even 6,200 homeowners. Even if it was to issue debt and not to increase the levy limit, that's a massive commitment for a small town to renovate and expand their combo middle school, high school. Looking at all these results reminds me how personal and local these decisions are. $25 million in Cadott failed, but $25 million in Ellsworth and Hamilton both passed. There you go. Also interesting, looks like a bunch of the little towns in north of Milwaukee got together and shared some ideas. Cedarburg, Port Washington, and Grafton all had referendums focused on public safety. Very similar, but a little bit different in a big way. Let me explain. Cedarburg and Port Washington both had referendums. First year, either $9.2 or $13 million, and then $1.3 million every year thereafter for hiring and retaining fire and EMS. I'd have to talk to the folks out there to see how this would actually work. But if you're looking to hire and retain, you probably need the same amount of money every year. And going with $13 million the first year and then dropping it down to $1.3 million by that logic isn't sustainable if it's going towards salary and benefits. Grafton, on the other hand, went for $10.7 million the first year and then $1.4 million going on into perpetuity for enhancing fire and EMS, including hiring and retaining. So, did you catch that? Not just hiring and retaining, but enhancing EMS, including hiring and retaining. So hopefully that big chunk of initial money is going to go towards maybe equipment, and then that additional $1.4 million or $1.4 million of that and going forward is going towards salary and benefits maybe. I can only hope. But in reality, it fills me with worry and impending dread because it looks like it's directly pulled from the government mismanagement 101 playbook. Take one-time money and commit to a recurring expense, which isn't sustainable, and then the taxpayers are left on the hook and budgets are transformed into fiscal cliffs and there's crisis. Hint, hint, Milwaukee. It got one-time COVID money and approved teacher pay raises in the same time frame. Sure looks like that left the budget out of whack and needing to scramble for $147 million. Yeah, I know, we'll wait and see, but mark the tape. Cedarburg and Port Washington, just giving you a heads up on what you've likely signed up for. I have to put a reminder in my calendar for that time frame from now. It's one of those times where, although saying I told you so is typically satisfying, if it plays out like I think it will, this won't be. But hopefully, I'm pleasantly surprised. With that, I will say this. I don't know how all this will play out, but I've talked in multiple past episodes about the massive jumps in spending in consecutive state budgets and how it really looks like we're on an unsustainable path. I have the same concern about the schools and the referendums that look like they're setting us up locally to be on fiscal cliffs. And the demand for more money is unrelenting. At some point, you have to live within sustainable, consistent income. It goes locally for all these referendums. You look at our federal government's debt, and you look at the amount of debt that our local governments are trying to use to finance things, and it's the similar playbook, and it really seems unsustainable. Over the next 2 years, our federal debt is going to be a primary focus of our federal government, and it has truly reached crisis levels. The debt mentality has been forced upon local government by state-level government, and if we don't adjust, make no mistake about it, we will continue to move closer to the same level of crisis. It will be another I told you so that fills me with sadness instead of satisfaction. In closing, I will leave you with two things. First, as an aside, I hope karma repays the telemarketer that called me during the recording of the podcast and made me have to re-record the entire thing. Second, I will leave you with a quote that is becoming one of my favorites. And in this referendum edition, I feel like it's very accurate. Not just hit the nail on the head accurate, but it's Daniel LaRusso catching a fly in chopsticks accurate. Thank you, Robert Louis Stevenson. Quote, everyone, sooner or later, sits down to a banquet of consequences. Have a great second half of your weekend. As always, thanks for listening. Wisconsin Property Taxpayers, Inc. is a nonpartisan membership organization consisting of thousands of small business, farm, and homeowner members in every corner of the state. Founded in 1985, the organization is committed to providing its members with up-to-date information, legislative advocacy, and exclusive cost-saving benefits. Find out how to join at wptonline.org/join.